So, this time of year is clearly not Christ's birth. He's born 9 months from now, let's say. Feast of Tabernacles time, give or take a little bit. So what happened this time of year? Let's go to Luke 1 and verse 26 and begin there. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God by in the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying. And considering the manner of greeting this was, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I know not man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and she is in the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." We know Mary was a woman of faith. We don't know a lot about her after this point. There's not a lot written about her later on. In Hebrews, in the faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38, phrase was that the women received their dead raised to life again. So maybe that's a hint of Mary in the great chapter of those who had great faith. Mary had a choice at this point. She could say yes, or she could say no. Mary was being asked to make a sacrifice here. Now, we usually don't think of Christ's birth as a sacrifice, but his conception might have been, or was. She has a choice now. She has a choice to endure what is coming. Because she is a young, single woman in that world. Should be stoned, right, if she's pregnant. That was the penalty for it, according to the Torah. Hey, there we go. She was going to risk losing her husband. She was going to risk a lot. Her life was going to take a radical change. Now, Gabriel and God clearly were stacking the deck here a little bit, right? They were coming in and telling her he's not going to be your average child. But this was not a small choice. This was not a small change in her life. Perhaps she knew the prophecies of the Messiah. Perhaps certainly her faith was not built upon the traditions of men. Her faith probably wasn't founded on the Pharisees and their altars and their paths. Perhaps she knew the Messiah was to come as a suffering servant and that he would have to die. Perhaps she knew all that. I think maybe she did. What is the choice that you're prepared to make? What is a sacrifice that is going to be asked of you or that you have already responded to? And are you going to be willing to continue to respond to that sacrifice? Sacrifice is usually associated with pain, with suffering, and sometimes appropriately so. But it's not just that. It's a little bit more. Sacrifice is our willingness to understand and give up for what is to come. It's to realize that the things of this time and place are only temporary. And if we delay our own gratification, our own fears, our own sense of reward, we're going to realize something greater. We will realize a greater reward. We see this in everyday things. When we go exercise, when we take our medications, when we refuse to eat that extra piece of pie. There's a greater meaning there at some level, right? That's why we're not eating that extra piece of pie. When we commit ourselves to going to school, to college, to learning, we know that that requires something for us to be something different. Have greater knowledge and abilities later. We see this when we correct our children, right? We know that this sacrifice will bring greater rewards. We all have plans and hopes and dreams. We have our own little realities, right? Our own little worlds. We have our internal rules and our external rules that we've built upon ourselves. We've learned that these rules are learned, well, we've probably learned them a lot by trial and error. Hopefully we've learned them by learning from the wisdom of those who came before us. Those rules govern us and they control our actions and our thoughts. So where are we becoming? What is our destiny? Revelation 5 and verse 10 says we're going to be a kingdom of priests. We're the priesthood of God, or at least we will be. We're maybe not priests today. Maybe we should be training to be so. We know the priests have their certain duties and their living stones and their spiritual house. This is 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 through 10. They're holy. The priests offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. They're chosen, they're special. We know the priests in the Old Testament, they were those who officiated and performed those sacrifices. And Hebrews 10 and verse 10 refers to the priests, and every priest stands ministering daily, so serving daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that can't take away sins. Now, sacrifices themselves, if we think about them in the Old Testament term, those may be just repetitions, they may be just actions, but there are deeper sacrifices still, right? Christ humbled himself, come to the point of death. So do we have the ability to take our sacrifices, maybe our little daily sacrifices, our deeper, our bigger sacrifices, but go deeper than beyond that? Actually, as I was studying this, and this is something I think that comes into mercy. If we go to Matthew 12 and verse 7, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. God doesn't want us just to have daily sacrifices. He doesn't want us just to do those things. Yes, we do need to do those things. God requires mercy of us as well. But what is that? How is a mercy greater than a sacrifice? If you go back and think about Philippians 2 and verse 5 through 8, where Christ humbled himself, he became obedient to the point of death. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is that mind? What can we do that Christ did? How can we sacrifice ourselves? How can we offer ourselves up? Offer this life up. Are we willing to sacrifice our lives, sacrifice the lives of those around us in order to bring the kingdom of God? Are we willing to have mercy on those before us and look for the interests of those people and not before our own interests, as in Philippians 2 and verse 4 says, let each of you not look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. God requires us to go deeper than just sacrifice. He has guaranteed there is a great sacrifice. He's Christ, the sacrifice for our life. But he wants us to do more. He requires mercy of us. He requires something more difficult than just an action some days. Some days we have to go deeper and see that mercy requires our thought, the deliberation of our values, those worlds that we've built upon ourselves. It requires us to show something of ourselves from within. Mercy is more transcendent. Mercy is showing the love within you. It's showing that you're willing to set aside your own pride and do what is best for that other person. Doing what is best for that other person, what is that? That's agape, isn't it? So how do we learn to give ourselves up? How do we learn to stop and prepare ourselves for that, to realize the sacrifices, the mercy that we have to give? How do we take account of ourselves? What is important to you? What is important to your family? We know the world's changing. The world is coming to an end, hopefully sooner than later, thy kingdom come. What is the drive within you? We're going to have to be prepared for this sacrifice. Are you willing to look at yourself truly? Look to see if you're a liar, if you're jealous, if you're a hypocrite, if that inner man is just proud. Are you willing to give up the gossip? Are you willing to see your own hatred, to see your own biases? Are you willing to let those things go in your life? Any of those things sound familiar to you? What do you love most? Do you love your child the most? Do you love your wife the most? Do you love your job the most? Are you willing to let that thing go? Are you willing to let that thing that you've put your life into, you've created your world, your vision of what you think your life will become, and walk away from it, to sacrifice that? Are you willing to see something that you see that as something that you have to give up in order to become who God wants you to become? Can you sacrifice that part of you? So what did Mary say here? Luke 1 and verse 38. Let's go back to the beginning of our story. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel left. The NIV puts that, "May your word be to me fulfilled." So are you willing to be stoned? Are you willing to lose your husband, your family, to be cast out by society and lose your reputation as a, in this case, as a pregnant young lady would have had to face in that world? Are you willing to be cast out by your friends, your church? Hopefully that's not the case, but Luke 17 and verse 33, Christ says, "Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." Sacrifice is not just the physical action. Touch briefly upon mercy. Go and study mercy and sacrifice. And you probably haven't thought of those before, but that's that inner man having to be consistent with that outer man that Mr. Holliday has been talking about. Devoting yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, emotionally, socially, physically, mentally, to serve God. Serve Yeshua first. Abandon your life. Abandon those expectations. You may have to. As this world comes to an end, we may have to make those choices. Don't just make up your own sacrifice, though. Don't fall on your own sword. Don't cast yourself from the high place in your own mind as Satan tempted Yeshua to do. Cast yourself off and God will save you. No, that was pride, wouldn't it, if he had done that? So listen, think, act. Be serious. I don't have time, but go into Hebrews 11, verse 4. And Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The sacrifice in Cain and Abel and that dynamic there is totally worth a study sometime, because it goes to what is a better sacrifice. Sacrifice is our understanding of what is to come. It's our understanding of what the world is going to be. This is our faith, our expectation of what is unseen. Sacrifice is our hope for something that is better to come. Sacrifice is agape. It's doing what is best for our children, for our families, for our friends, for our own salvation, for we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It is doing what is best for God, letting him work in you, to shape your heart, so that we will be with him, which is just what he wants. He wants us with him. He wants us to be with him. So as Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Wow. Just think about that.